The story of Hosea and Gomer sounds a little bit like an episode out of the Jerry Springer show. The vicar who married a prostitute. Imagine the subtext, you know. Clergyman's wife cheats on him. Her children are fathered by three different men. Sold as a sex slave, her long-suffering husband buys her back. Imagine the scene. Gomer sitting there in the chair on her own, looking down at the floor in shame. The spotlights on her, the crowd jeering and sniggering. And then Jerry Springer comes out and he says, "Why did you do it, Hosea?" And Hosea looks innocently. "I knew she would be unfaithful, but God told me to marry her anyway. He told me to love her enough to let her go. To love her enough to buy her back. To forgive her and show her how much I loved her." Well, if it happened today, it would certainly make the tabloid press on Sunday. Hosea was a young preacher in the nation of Israel, the northern kingdom. He was a contemporary of Isaiah and Amos. And he lived, as we had read in Hosea chapter 1, during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. And during the reign of Jeroboam, the king of Israel. But where Hosea stands out compared to the other prophets is not so much the message he delivered verbally, but the message he delivered visibly, dramatically, through his marriage, through his wife, and through the choice of the names of his children. The book of Hosea is probably the most shocking book in the whole of the Old Testament. And if you were not aware of that, then get your Bibles out this afternoon and have a read. Not because of what Hosea went through, but because of what God went through. What God went through for us. And here's the clue as to how Hosea fits in our series, Christ in All the Scriptures. Because the name Hosea is related to Joshua and Yeshua in Hebrew, which means salvation. We're going to see some of the parallels between Hosea and Jesus. The first one we find is a childhood reference to Jesus, the childhood of Jesus, the refugee. In Hosea chapter 11, verse 1, God says, "When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son." Now clearly, God is referring to the Israelites and their rescue out of Egypt. He calls his people my son. But Matthew tells us that this was fulfilled through Jesus. Matthew tells us in Matthew chapter 2 that Joseph got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Matthew is telling us that what Hosea wrote about was pointing beyond Hosea to Jesus. The childhood rescue of the Son of God is compared to the rescue of the children of God out of Egypt. So Hosea, according to Matthew, speaks of the childhood of Jesus, the refugee. More explicitly, we see the royalty of Jesus, the king. Hosea chapter 3 verse 5 says, "Afterward the Israelites will return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. They will come trembling to the Lord and to his blessings in the last days." So we're talking about the last days, but hang on a minute, David was dead. been dead 200 years. So what is Hosea talking about? Well, on Palm Sunday, the Jews recognized Jesus as the Son of David and as their king. Hosanna to the Son of David, they cried. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace on heaven, in heaven, and glory in the highest. Talking about the King, Son of David, and blessing, all that Hosea had promised. The childhood of Jesus, the refugee, the royalty of Jesus, the King. Thirdly, the cross of Jesus, the Redeemer. God promises in Hosea chapter 1 verse 7 that he will redeem his people. He will save his people. He says, verse 7, yet I will show love to Judah. I will save them not by bow, sword, or battle, or by horses or horsemen, but I, the Lord their God, will save them. He would do it personally. Not through the size of their army, not through military strategy, but through his intervention, his personal intervention. How do we do that? Well, in a moment we're going to see how, but here's a taster. The Apostle Peter puts it like this: for you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed, bow, sword, battle, horseman, from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Hosea redeemed his wife. Jesus redeemed his church. E.B. Pusey, the 19th century scholar, said the word redeemed, ransomed, signifies the rescue by payment of a price. Both words in this most exact sense describe what Jesus did for us. Jesus is in Hosea. The childhood of Jesus, the refugee. The royalty of Jesus, the King. The cross of Jesus, the Redeemer. The resurrection of Jesus, the victor. It's there in Hosea. There's a hint in verse 2 of chapter 6. After 2 days he will revive us. On the third day he will restore us, that we may live in his presence. It's talking about death and resurrection for God's people. What did Jesus say to his doubting friends after his resurrection? Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. The resurrection of Jesus and the resurrection of his people could not be more plainly foretold. The prophet Hosea expressly mentions 2 days after which they would give up hope, and on the third day on which the resurrection would take place. If you're not convinced by that, then let me explain that the apostle Paul understood that Jesus would fulfill this promise. Because Hosea goes on to say in chapter 13 that God said, I will deliver this people from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. Where, O death, are your plagues? Where, O grave, is your destruction? The Apostle Paul quotes Hosea in his explanation about the resurrection. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ points to the resurrection of those who trust in him, predicted in Hosea. The childhood of Jesus, the refugee. The royalty of Jesus, the King. The cross of Jesus, the Redeemer. The resurrection of Jesus, the Victor. The blessings of Jesus, the Messiah. You know, there are numerous messianic allusions in Hosea. The messianic age is the future age, the age when God is with his people and there is abundant blessing on earth. Hosea talks about this even after he's rebuked his people for their adultery. He says, yet the Israelites will be like the sand on the seashore, which cannot be measured or counted. In the place where it is said, you are not my people, they will be called children of the living God. He's looking forward to that day when there will be blessing among God's people. The Apostle Peter picks up this theme from Hosea. Once you were not a people, now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, now you have received mercy, he says, through Jesus. The Apostle John looks forward to the same thing in Revelation. After this, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. So the Apostle Peter, the Apostle Paul, the Apostle John show us how the prophecy of Hosea was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Jesus is indeed in Hosea. His childhood, the refugee, his royalty, the king, his cross, the redeemer, his resurrection, the victor, his blessing, the Messiah. And then we get to the heart of Hosea, the betrothal of Jesus, the bridegroom. We've looked at the way in which the scriptures talk about Jesus from Genesis all the way through to Daniel last week. And now we come to this next awesome picture of Jesus, the bridegroom. The parallels between Hosea and Jesus are most obvious when you consider what the Lord God asked Hosea to do and what the Lord Jesus voluntarily chose to do. What did God tell Hosea to do? Chapter 1, verse 2. Go marry a promiscuous woman and have children with her, for like an adulterous wife, this land is guilty of unfaithfulness to the Lord. And after she'd gone astray, God said to Hosea, chapter 3, verse 1, go, show your love to your wife again. Though she is loved by another man and is an adulteress, love her as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods. How is Jesus portrayed in the New Testament? What is his relationship to the church? What does the Apostle Paul tell husbands? Love your wives. Why does he say that? Love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing of water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Why would he have to cleanse her? Why would he have to take away the stains and the wrinkles? Because the church was Gomer. Gomer is a picture of the church. Hosea is a picture of Jesus. As Hosea was called to marry an unfaithful wife, so was Jesus. As Hosea paid the price demanded to redeem a slave to buy back his unfaithful bride, so did Jesus. And it's not just the Apostle Paul who gets this. John the Baptist, when he was creating speculation as to whether he was the Messiah, he links the Messiah to the bridegroom, the Messiah to Hosea. He says, you yourselves can testify, I said, I'm not the Messiah, but I'm sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine and is now complete. Why did John the Baptist say that? Because he recognized Jesus as the bridegroom from Hosea. And he said, he's come. He's arrived. The bridegroom is here. You know what? It wasn't just the Apostle Paul. It wasn't even just John the Baptist. It was the Lord Jesus himself. He uses the same analogy. He points to Hosea unambiguously when he and his friends are criticized by the Pharisees. Jesus says in Mark chapter 2, how can the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? They cannot so long as they have him with them, but the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and on that day they will fast. Jesus is saying, I'm the bridegroom. Celebrate with me, but one day I'll be taken away. One day I will die. Then you'll mourn. And in the book of Revelation, in the closing scene, the church is described as what? The bride of Christ. Christ is the bridegroom. The Apostle John in chapter 21 of Revelation says, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They'll be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. The church is prepared as a bride beautifully dressed. She wasn't born that way. It was through the death of Christ that the bride was made beautiful. Jesus is in Hosea. The childhood of Jesus, the refugee. The royalty of Jesus, the king. The cross of Jesus, the redeemer. The resurrection of Jesus, the victor. The blessing of Jesus, the Messiah. The betrothal of Jesus, the bridegroom. And lastly, the challenge of Jesus, our Lord. If all that we've discovered about Jesus from Hosea is true, if that was really what Hosea was pointing to, because that's certainly how the New Testament understands Hosea, what is our response going to be? What is our response going to be? Who do we see ourselves as in this story? If this was the Jerry Springer show, where would we be? In the crowd, jeering, shouting, taunting? Or would we be under the spotlight? You see, Hosea says that if all of this is true, then there is only one way. There is only one God and there is only one Savior. Hosea 13 verse 4. I have been the Lord your God ever since you came out of Egypt. You shall acknowledge no God but me, no Savior except me. You see, the reason the people of Israel were described as adulterous is because they'd gone after other gods. They wanted to hedge their bets. They were gambling. Sure, they worshipped God on Saturdays, but during the week they had a few others just to make sure. They worshipped numerous other gods just to make sure. Now, we're not into pagan idolatry in Virginia Water these days, but there are plenty of other gods around that we worship that can so easily become a substitute. That's why Acts 4:12 says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given by mankind that we must be saved. Just as the amazing, forgiving, redeeming love of God portrayed in Hosea was available to Gomer, but only if she turned from her adultery and returned to Hosea, so it is that the amazing, forgiving, redeeming love of God is available to us too, but only if we turn from our sin and turn to Jesus. Well, there's one more aspect to the story of Hosea, and that is the application. The application. When Jesus was asked by the Pharisees why he ate with the Gomers, why did he spend his time with the tax gatherers and the sinners, he quoted from Isaiah. He quotes from Isaiah chapter 6, verse 6, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Matthew chapter 9 is his answer. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Jesus is telling the Pharisees politely to go and do their homework. Go and read the Bible. Go study the words of Hosea and find God's will for your life. Stop criticizing, stop judging, and show mercy, because your God has shown you mercy. Show mercy. That's how Jesus remembers Hosea. And you know what? 3 chapters later in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus and his disciples are out in the fields. They're having a light snack on the Sabbath. And the Pharisees start to tut, tut, tut and point the finger and wag their head. And the Lord Jesus has to say, if you had known what these words mean, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent, for the Lord, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. And Jesus is saying that if the Pharisees had done what he told them 3 chapters earlier and gone and read Hosea, they wouldn't be wagging their heads or pointing their fingers. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Why? Because he's done it. He has sacrificed his son. That's how he's shown us mercy. And that's why we must show mercy to others. So where are you in the story? Can you identify with Gomer in the story? If you can't identify with Gomer, then you need to come and do the Christianity Explored course. Sign up. Find out who Jesus is. We're tasting the story of Jesus in Hosea, but in Mark's Gospel, we work our way through the teaching of Jesus and understand those 3 questions. Who, why, and what? Who is he? Why did he come? And what does it mean to follow him? You see, we are more sinful than we could ever imagine, but we are more loved than we can ever dream. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. The church is Gomer. That's why we should remember Hosea, because he reveals so much about the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The childhood of Jesus, the refugee, the royalty of Jesus, the king, the cross of Jesus, the redeemer, the resurrection of Jesus, the victor, the blessing of Jesus, the Messiah, the betrothal of Jesus, the bridegroom, and the challenge of Jesus, our Lord. You see, on the day that Jesus comes back, he's going to make the Jerry Springer show look like a picnic. The spotlight is going to be on us. We will either stand there in shame and suffer the consequences of our sin, or Jesus will be there, like Hosea, covering us because he's forgiven us, because he's made us his bride. I hope today you can identify with Hosea and Gomer. God is looking for sacrificial love and mercy from his children, just like Hosea, because that is the sacrificial love and mercy he has shown us, like Gomer. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for Hosea, for all that he went through in order to deliver the good news. Point us to Jesus. We acknowledge, like Gomer, that we are more sinful than we had ever imagined. But through Jesus, we are more loved than we can ever dream. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.